Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel lesson, the gospel according to St. Matthew, the third chapter. Well, there were 42 of us or so at the camp. People organizing us had us into groups of five and six, and we were in Alaska on a mission trip. Now, looking back on it now, out of all the people who were there, all the folks out of my youth group, well, we were tasked with doing the same thing. Even though we were split up into two different groups, we were to go out and work on some trails. Now, one group, well, they had to lay down gravel, believe it or not, on the trail. And what they were doing there, they had a dump truck come and dump all this gravel, and so they had wheelbarrows and shovels. That was their task, is to shovel that into the wheelbarrow and then go down the path and dump it out, and then to tamp it all down, flatten it out so make it nice and flat. Why? Well, they were wanting to make this particular trail handicap accessible, so they needed to make sure that it was nice and solid for them to get out. So now when they did this, got all the gravel out there, and they're thinking, ah, we're done. Well, then another dump truck would show up, dump another load of gravel. Needless to say, they slept real well at night. Now, the other group, well, they had machetes and axes. Now, we were going out to a particular trail there, and so we were making sure that, one, that it was clear of all kinds of debris and extra growth, and then when we got to a certain point, we were to cut a new trail into the woods. And so that we did. So they're using the machetes there. We're cutting down all the branches, making sure there's a clear path. We're also making sure that we had to cut all the roots out, too, because you didn't want to have anything on the trail there to cause anybody to trip and fall. But in either case, though, both of us, both groups there, working on the same kind of thing, that we were making sure that we could improve and make a new trail. Now for our gospel lesson for today. Pay attention here to what I'm going to read again as we talk about John the Baptizer. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of the one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Well, the second Sunday in Advent, well, that is always about John the Baptist. Okay, we're talking about John, the cousin of Jesus. He was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Now, he had a task, and that task was to go out and preach. He called to the people to repent, just like the prophets of old. Indeed, he was a prophet. For one of the tasks that a prophet was to perform there is that if the people were sinning, that the prophet, God would send them out to the people there and call them. It's like, hey, you need to stop what you're doing. Repent. Do a 180. Turn back to the Lord. But he also there would talk about consequences. That, you know, if you don't change your behavior, well, then there's going to be something. God is going to come and punish you. But on the other hand, that if the people listened, that they turned back to the Lord, confessed their sins, what would happen? They would find that God's grace was there for them and forgive them. That he would remove that punishment from them and their sins from them as far as the east is from the west. John was calling them to do that very thing, because something was different about this prophet, John. He was telling them that the Messiah was coming and coming soon. Now, with a sense of urgency then, John there was preparing the path. He was improving the trail. Isaiah said it this way, and John quoted him as a fulfillment of that prophecy. He, John, was the voice crying out there in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Indeed, John was there to prepare the people for this coming Messiah. They were not to be left out there in the wilderness. They were not to be lost. Rather, they were to turn from their sins and eagerly await the Messiah. That was their job, to be excited about that the Messiah was coming. Now, how does one do that very thing? Well, starts off kind of funny here, if you will, as we're looking there. One of the things that it says in our gospel reading about John, what was his attire? Well, his attire was skin of camel hair and a leather belt. Now, what's unique about that? Why would that particular comment be so important? Well, that's the very thing that Elisha used to wear back in the Old Testament. So when the people would see John there wearing the very same clothing that the prophet Isaiah was wearing, and then he's out there preaching for the people to repent, to turn from their sins, the people are going to get it. They're going to understand that, yes, indeed, John is a prophet, and that we better listen to what he has to say. And so what was he saying? Again, he was calling the people to repent. Now, as he's saying this, it's not for them just to go home and think about it. You know, I've got plans this weekend. And, well, I know the Lord wouldn't necessarily like what I'm doing, so on Monday, kind of like starting a diet, you know, on Monday I'm going to start. I'm going to repent. But that's not what John was saying. He's saying the time to repent is not tomorrow or next week. The time is now. Why? Because that Messiah was coming. And when the Messiah comes, yes, indeed, there's going to be grace and forgiveness, which means that there is no place for sin in your life. Now, as he's saying all this, what then did John do when the people came out? Well, as it says there, they came out and they were baptized there in the Jordan River, a baptism of repentance. Well, that was a sign then for them to visually show him and everyone that when they're baptized, that they are indeed turning from their sins. But the baptism that you and I receive is, well, it's a little bit more. In our baptism, as we are commanded and encouraged by our Savior Jesus, we have the forgiveness of sins. And as the apostles John and Peter say, we also receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon us. And in doing so, the person who is baptized receives a guarantee from God that that promise of forgiveness of sins and the hope of everlasting life are indeed yours. Now, in the midst of all this, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, well, they were coming out too. They wanted to be seen as ones who, gave the appearance there that they are turning from their sins too. It's not so different from today. People who like to go through the motions, they like to appear that they're changing their ways, but that's only for Sunday morning. All you have to do is look at their behavior throughout the rest of the week. Have they indeed changed or not? And so John calls them out. He's saying, he's like, hey, don't look at your heritage and say, you know, I've got Abraham as our father there. I'm all good to go. It's like, well, you know, my parents dragged me to Sunday school every Sunday, and so it's like I'm racking up all kinds of merits off of them, and then I'll be good to go too. Like, no, it doesn't work that way. Each person needs to turn from their own sins. And that's what John is calling them out. That's what you need to do. And then in turn, what else? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance. You see, that's where faith and baptism intersect. Baptism there means forgiveness of sins, hope of everlasting life. And now one is pure and holy in God's sight because of that. But yet the Holy Spirit comes upon a person as well. And it is the Holy Spirit who works on a person's heart, who guides and directs us throughout our lives. Now sin can get in the way. It's kind of like shoving the Holy Spirit out of the way when that happens. But yet at the same time, though, when we follow God's word and we confess our sins, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. And we receive the benefits of the fruit of the Spirit. It's like love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And you're thinking, really? We'll get all that? You know, I've been praying for a long time for that self-control one, and that's been a hard time coming. Many of us pray that for our kids to have, right? Self-control, that's a good thing. But yet, when we try and do that on our own, it's not going to happen. But yet that's where, when we are faithful to God and coming to Him and hearing His word and receiving the sacraments like we will today, that's where the Holy Spirit works on our hearts. And when we begin to listen to God's word and apply that in our daily lives, those fruits of the Spirit naturally begin to happen. And if you're not sure that you're getting it, pray about it. The Lord God gives generously. Because we live in a day after the Messiah has come. And we live a day full of faith in Christ, and until that day He comes when He'll take us to be with Him forever. But in the meantime, we do have time to bear fruits. bear fruits in keeping with repentance and Christ's righteousness. And sometimes that is a challenge, and I get that. It's kind of like having your wheelbarrow full of gravel there, and you're trying to get out there to the path, and you got other people cutting you off, preventing you from getting your job done. And that's frustrating, and it certainly can be. Because sometimes those are the folks there that we interact on a daily basis there that, well, they could care less if you have faith or not. And that's where at times there that, well, that can affect our own attitude. It's like, come on, Lord. And that's where we need to repent of that attitude and turn back to Him. It's like, Lord, I can certainly use your help today. And He can provide that. Because we will have those days of challenges and also have days in which we can bear fruit generously. And that's in keeping with God, who loves us so very much. So on a day like today, when John calls us to repent, that indeed we have as we confessed our sins here today, but also too as we've heard His word. Holy Spirit, strengthen our hearts so that we might serve you always, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God surpasses all human understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us rise now as we confess our common faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed. It's found printed for us in our worship bulletins. So we turn to one another across the aisle and confess such faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.